Hi everyone, welcome back to the MetaBullet Step 2 and 3 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of seborrheic dermatitis found under the dermatology section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with a clinical snapshot. A 40-year-old man with history of HIV infection presents to the clinic with a red, flaky rash around his scalp, face, nose, and ears. He has tried low-dose topical steroids, which have not helped. He would like stronger therapy for his rash. Let's continue with an introduction to seborrheic dermatitis. As a reminder, this is a common, chronic, inflammatory skin disease that results from either over-secretion of sebaceous material or hypersensitivity to superficial fungi such as Malassezia furfur, which is formerly known as Pityrosporum ovale. Also remember that this affects all ages, and it presents as quote-unquote dandruff in adults or as quote-unquote cradle cap in infants. Remember that this is more severe in patients with neurologic disease, such as those with traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's disease, or stroke, as well as HIV patients. Moving on to the presentation. The most common symptom will be dandruff in the hair and face, but some patients will also present with symptoms of burning, itching, and scaling. If it is severe enough, it can even become exfoliative erythroderma, such as in those patients with immunodeficiencies. And on exam, one may note scaly, greasy, flaky skin on the scalp margins and face, as well as an erythematous rash, especially where the sebaceous glands are numerous, such as on the eyebrows, nasolabial folds, external ear canals, and groin. And in terms of the evaluation, remember that the diagnosis is made by clinical history and exam, and that skin biopsy is typically not necessary. However, one can perform a KOH prep in order to rule out fungal infection if it is resistant or if there is suspicion for other fungal infections. And in terms of the differential, make sure to think about fungal infection, cutaneous lupus, and acne rosacea. And with regards to treatment, medical management may include topical therapies for mild disease. The best initial therapy is emollients and non-medical shampoos that contain zinc. Other options are low-potency topical steroids such as hydrocortisone, topical antifungals such as ketoconazole or selenium sulfide, or selenium or zinc pyrithione or tar shampoo. Systemic therapies may be used for severe or resistant disease. This may include oral antifungals such as ketoconazole and oral steroids. With regards to prevention, remember that the shampoos that were previously mentioned work well if used properly. Another option is good skin hygiene. And complications related to seborrheic dermatitis include that it may become secondarily infected with bacterial, fungal, or viral agents. And lastly, with regards to prognosis, remember that most infections respond well to therapy. However, it may recur, especially in immunocompromised individuals. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to seborrheic dermatitis, let's walk through some questions to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For the first question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 6-month-old boy is brought to his pediatrician by his parents. The patient's parents state that he has a rash on his head that has persisted for the past month. They fear that it may have become infected and are seeking treatment. The patient is a healthy boy who was born at 39 weeks. He has been meeting his developmental milestones and is breastfeeding. The boy produces 7 stools per day and responds to his name. His temperature is 99.5 degrees Fahrenheit, or 37.5 degrees Celsius. Blood pressure is 60 over 30. Pulse is 120 beats per minute. Respirations are 17 breaths per minute. And oxygen saturation is 98% on room air. On physical exam, you note a healthy young boy. His cardiopulmonary exam is within normal limits. Physical exam reveals a scaly, oily rash on the scalp. Which of the following is the best next step in management? And the answer choices are: Choice 1, emollients. Choice 2, oral itraconazole. Choice 3, reassurance. Choice 4, topical ketoconazole. Or choice 5, topical triamcinolone. The best answer to this question is choice 1, emollients. This patient is presenting with signs and symptoms suggestive of seborrheic dermatitis. the best initial step in management is to administer emollients and non-medical shampoos. Seborrheic dermatitis presents with an itchy, oily, scaly, and flaking rash. This is a benign condition that typically resolves with topical therapy only. The best initial step in management is to administer emollients and topical non-medical shampoos which may contain zinc. If symptoms persist, topical steroids and topical antifungals can be administered. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 2. Oral itraconazole could be appropriate therapy for severe symptoms that are refractory to topical emollients or shampoos, topical steroids, and topical antifungals. This would not be a first-line measure. Choice 3. Reassurance would be inappropriate in this situation, as this patient's symptoms could be reduced with a non-invasive treatment such as topical emollients and shampoos. Choices 4 and 5. Topical ketoconazole and topical triamcinolone could be administered if the patient's symptoms were refractory to emollients and non-medical shampoos. Finally, a bullet summary. The best initial step in management of seborrheic dermatitis is to administer emollients and non-medical shampoos. For the second question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 33-year-old man presents to his primary care physician for a rash. The patient states he was recently treated for a sexually transmitted infection 1 week ago, and he now notes a pruritic rash on his posterior scalp. The patient's past medical history is otherwise unremarkable. Physical exam is notable for an erythematous and greasy scaled rash on the back of his head. Which of the following is the best next step in management? And the answer choices are: Choice 1, diphenhydramine. Choice 2, inform the patient that this is a possible reaction and will self-resolve. Choice 3, oral prednisone and oral ketoconazole. Choice 4, recommend proper sun protection. Or choice 5, topical ketoconazole. The best answer to this question is choice 5, topical ketoconazole. This patient is presenting with a pruritic and scaly rash suggestive of seborrheic dermatitis, which is best treated with topical antifungals like ketoconazole. Seborrheic dermatitis presents with erythematous and greasy scales that are pruritic. The lesions occur secondary to a fungal agent, typically Pityrosporum ovale. The best initial treatment is either topical antifungals, such as ketoconazole or selenium sulfide, topical steroids, or zinc-containing or tar-containing shampoos. Oral antifungals and steroids are reserved for severe and refractory cases. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. Diphenhydramine would be an appropriate intervention for urticaria, also known as hives, secondary to a drug allergy. The patient was treated 1 week ago, so an acute allergic reaction is now unlikely. Choice 2. Informing the patient that this is a possible reaction and will self-resolve misses the treatable diagnosis of seborrheic dermatitis. Choice 3. Oral prednisone and oral ketoconazole, which is an antifungal, would be used for severe and refractory cases of seborrheic dermatitis, but would not be the best initial therapy. Choice 4. Recommending proper sun protection would be appropriate management of actinic keratosis, which is a pre-malignant lesion that occurs in sun-exposed areas. Finally, a bullet summary. Topical antifungals, such as ketoconazole or selenium sulfide, are the best initial treatment for seborrheic dermatitis. For the third question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 58-year-old man presents to the office complaining of a rash on his forehead and scalp. He states he has had it for the past few months, but noticed it has been worsening recently and is itchy. His temperature is 98.1 degrees Fahrenheit, or 36.7 degrees Celsius. Blood pressure is 142 over 92. Pulse is 83 beats per minute. Respirations are 15 breaths per minute. And oxygen saturation is 98% on room air. Inspection of the patient's scalp reveals greasy scales overlying erythematous patches. Which of the following conditions is most likely to be found in this patient's medical history? And the answer choices are: Choice 1, Alzheimer's disease. Choice 2, Parkinson's disease. Choice 3, rheumatoid arthritis. Choice 4, Sjogren's syndrome. Or choice 5, systemic lupus erythematosus. The best answer to this question is choice 2, Parkinson's disease. This patient's presentation is consistent with seborrheic dermatitis given his scalp findings, which demonstrate greasy plaques that can be pruritic. Seborrheic dermatitis is associated with Parkinson's disease and HIV. Seborrheic dermatitis is a common chronic disorder in which greasy scales overlying erythematous patches or plaques are present on the scalp, face, or external auditory canal. Less commonly, it presents on the central chest, axilla, groin, submammary folds, and gluteal cleft. Although it is associated with Parkinson's disease and HIV, most patients with seborrheic dermatitis have no underlying disease. Pityrosporum ovale may be the infectious etiology of this condition, thus topical antifungals are used as part of treatment. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. Alzheimer's disease presents with a gradual loss of memory that progresses to the patient being unable to care for themselves. It is not associated with seborrheic dermatitis. Choice 3. Rheumatoid arthritis presents with systemic joint pain in a woman that is worse in the morning and improves throughout the day. It can present with joint deformity, malaise, anemia, and fatigue, but would not present with seborrheic dermatitis. Choice 4. Sjögren's syndrome presents with dry eyes, a dry mouth, and dyspareunia. It would not present with seborrheic dermatitis. Choice 5. Systemic lupus erythematosus presents with multiple different symptoms. The dermatologic findings in lupus include a malar or a discoid rash. Finally, a bullet summary. Seborrheic dermatitis is commonly seen in patients with Parkinson's disease. That's all for this review about seborrheic dermatitis. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast, a daily audio review session for MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here, on the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast.